up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. A massive weekend in store for the Bohemians. And we've got this weekend a doubleheader. But we've also got a Women's FAI Cup final for the first time in the club's history to look forward to. I am delighted to be joined this week by the ever-present Pete Sinnott and another Wicklow man. And from Off the Ball, recognisable podcast, anyone who is from abroad or afar, or, you know, never made it to Daily Mount on a Friday, very, very familiar voice. And of course, does the commentating on Sundays for News Talk and also the League of Ireland on Friday when he's not on duties in Dalymount Park. I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Doyle. Stephen, how are you keeping?
I'm really well, Jordan, really well. But I have to pick a bone with you here. We're off to a bad start here, calling me a Wicklow man. I'm taking a huge offence to that. But listen, that's what we might explore when we talk about getting into how we get into Bohemians. But I'll let you off down because I love you so much.
Stephen, you got in ahead of me there. I'm on your hair raising my family. I'm not a Wicklow man, nor never will be a Wicklow man. Don't want to be a Wicklow man, but as I said, I'm raising my family. So yeah, we're out here for the moment.
This is the thing, Pete. You see, it's lads like Jordan, all these fellas, all these high flyers who can afford to buy property in the capital city, you know. Lads like ourselves on meagre wages who have been driven out of our own city because of the high
pushed out of our own city, exactly. Yeah. Oh, we'll be back to take it.
Some of us are still Peter Pan in boxer mode, so we'll hold the fort in the family house. I'm delighted to join by Stephen this week. Stephen, you have your League of Ireland podcast. I listen to it. It normally comes out on a Thursday or a Friday morning. You're on the other side of the hosting now. Have you found that so far?
It's been brilliant. Listen, I've been in radio since 2017, I think. Well, it was, sorry, what, 2007, I should say. And I actually started off in 98 FM, and I was lucky actually to work under a great editor there, the man who gave me my break, Johnny Lyons, who sadly passed away several years ago. But Johnny was, you know, he was just like larger than life, and most importantly, a big, big League of Ireland fan. Johnny Lyons, of course, the uncle of Andy Lyons, who played for Bohemians and went on to play for a couple of other clubs, Blackpool currently. But Johnny was brilliant. He had a real passion for League of Ireland. Johnny had this, every Friday when there was League of Ireland games on, we used to do this thing where on a Thursday, Friday morning, we'd ring around all, this is the old days where you had all the managers' phone numbers. And you could ring around the managers and just do a quick kind of 2-minute, 3-minute chat with them. And that would essentially give you your 15 to 20 second clip then you could use on the news bulletins on the Friday to build up toward the games on Friday night. And then from there, like, Johnny had a show then, now that's what I call Sport on 98 FM every Sunday, and we used to get as many League of Ireland guests as we could get on across the few years that show ran as well. So I got a really good, I suppose from a media side of things, I got a really good education from Johnny with regards to covering the League of Ireland, but also just having that passion for it, which I already did, you know, but it was great to kind of learn how to become a radio broadcaster and to use all those contacts that we had in the League of Ireland and to, you know, I suppose kind of promote the games on the Friday and to give all that build up and stuff. And then, you know, we went from 98 FM into Off the Ball, all the stations, kind of the sports departments came together under Off the Ball back in, I think it was 2017, around that time. And, you know, to be fair, I know for a while Off the Ball News Talk used to get a bit of stick because maybe they didn't give the league enough coverage. And I have to say, like a number of years ago, our boss man here, Jared Gilroy, sat down with a few of us who are League of Ireland heads in the job and said, look, what can we do? You know, what is there? What can I give to you guys? What do you think you can give to me here in regards to, you know, covering the league? So the coverage of League of Ireland has become, I think, brilliant on Off the Ball, if not to be throwing bouquets at ourselves here. But I tried to start up a podcast, say the year before last, or was it last year? And I was kind of essentially doing it on my own. I was, you know, ringing around players, managers, you know, every couple of weeks and trying to give every club in the Premier and First Division as much coverage as I could each match week. But because I've got other stuff to do here, you know, bulletins to do during the week, I've got my match on a Sunday to do, you got all your prep work to do for that, it was just becoming a huge amount of work. And at the end of last year, you know, we could kind of sense that there might be something big happening with regards to the match coverage and doing stuff like that. So we decided then to kind of change the format totally, rip it all up and start again, as they say. So that's where we kind of got Gareth McLean and Vinnie Perth involved. Two lads have been kind of involved in League of Ireland coverage, whether it be Gareth with RTE, and Vinnie, of course, has been with us for a good while doing Premier League as well as League of Ireland. And I think to kind of have the two lads every week, just to kind of give people that regular, it's nice to have regular contributors, I think, because it's just that kind of, I think with any kind of radio, you know, if you've got this kind of regular thing, somebody can check, people can check in with weekly. It just gives, I suppose, a nice storyline throughout the season, as aside from the football. And there's just that comfort, you know, of becoming, you know, familiar with the two kind of very knowledgeable voices on the game. Like Vinny, I know he might get criticism, and he knows himself. Like he says to me every week, you know, I got a bit of a slagging over this point of view I have, whatever. Like Vinny's been involved with, you know, the most, arguably one of the most successful League of Ireland teams over a number of years with Stephen Kenny at Dundalk. He went and won a league title with them himself, had them in Europe. Like the man's experience in the game, whether it be coaching, you know, managing big players, big egos in dressing rooms, all that kind of stuff has been brilliant to have that experience, that knowledge there. And Gareth as well, like he's, you know, Gareth's got a huge amount of experience as a player in the league. He's been involved with a number of different teams. And, you know, look, he doesn't hide his Derry City bias. He's proud of being a Derry City man. And I think sometimes they bounce off each other really well because they don't always agree with each other. But I suppose it's enjoyable to do it every week. The lads are great crack. They give really good points of view on the game, and I'm always kind of, you know, I'm always learning from them every week, and it's just been brilliant to do it alongside, you know, doing the matches every Friday as well, and just giving the league very for good coverage. But look, that's a very long-winded answer there, Jordan. But I hope you're kind of getting my meaning there.
Yeah, I am indeed, and I do recall the passing of Johnny Lyons. It was quite a big social media outburst from the media world as such at the time, and I remember it was obviously Andy Lyons' uncle. But yeah, good long-winded answer there, Stephen. And if anyone wants to catch that, it's normally released on YouTube. I think it's a Friday morning. It's out, isn't it?
Yeah, we do. In fact, like any time we can, we're trying to record a Wednesday, get it out for Thursday. You get it up on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all the usual spots, and the off the wall. We have an app as well, the Goal Out app. So yeah, I'll get all the plugs in there out of the way anyway. So cheers for that, Jordan.
Yeah,
It's
anytime.
sorry, Jordan. Like, if any part, what I will say about him is he's always quite positive about Bowes, whether we're good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, sometimes I think he's watching a different Bowes team than I am because he's extremely complimentary. Gareth McLean also is a bit of a Bowes sympathiser as well. So there's always good, good Bowes content there, which I'm sure you enjoy, Stephen. But I'm one of these Bowes fans. When we win, I listen to every podcast under the sun. I'll read as many newspapers as I can. I'll do whatever I can. When we lose, I just shut down, like the big baby that I am. So I only ever listen when we get a positive result, Stephen. You'll have to forgive me on that one.
Oh no, listen, I completely understand. Like we've got that LOI late night as well on X. My colleague Cameron Hill looks after that one every Friday night. And if Bowes lose, I'm not listening to it going home. Like usually if Bowes win, I'll stick that on straight away and I'll listen to what all the supporters are saying around the clubs. But if they lose, I don't want to hear about it. Like I'm in the car down the road back to Wicklow and I don't want to hear anything about you know, kind of post analysis or whatever the case may be. It's funny that, isn't it? As a, and like, look, you know, the podcast and listen, kind of, I suppose my colours became evident when I started doing the comedy games for Bohemians, the club, like, you know, a few years back. And it was kind of hard. Like, you know, I've been covering League of Ireland since 07, 08. And I've always been, you know, kind of kept my colours to myself. But it was hard to keep doing that really when, you know, you're kind of doing stuff for the club as a volunteer. So that's fair enough. But look, I'd like to think that supporters from other clubs do appreciate the fact that I am, you know, completely unbiased when I'm on the podcast, and I'll give every club their fair dues, and I'll knock Bowes when they deserve to be knocked, as they have. There's been a couple of, you know, times this season where the club has made a bit of critique, and I'll do that, like, you know, because I'm a journalist at the end of the day, And, I've got to remember that I have to give an unbiased view, an impartial view, and just, give people the facts.
Like that famous old saying, people say to me, "I hate bows," and I'd say to them, "Well, I hate bows more than you hate bows. I can guarantee you that, you
Yeah.
know."
So, look, Steve, you said that you're not a Wicklow man, so you're clearly from Dublin then, if that's the case, and your accent might give it away to the listenership here. Would you tell us how it all started, how you got into the big club?
Yeah, well, when I tell you where I did grow up, people start going, "That's even worse than Wicklow," because, and I shouldn't say that because I'm very proud of where I come from. I grew up in Tallaght, funnily enough, and the first reaction, especially I'm talking to younger League of Ireland fans around the office, and you say I'm from Tallaght, and they're like, "How come you're not a Shamrock Rovers?" I'm like, "Well, Rovers aren't a Tallaght team either. They're originally from Milltown, Ringsend, wherever the case may be." So look, I grew up in Tallaght. I lived there till I was about 15, moved out to Kildare then, and from Kildare, as soon as I became old enough, I started renting places in town around the age of 18, and I kind of was bouncing from here to there. But like when I was growing up in Tallaght, my dad, big sports fan, he was into Gaelic games, he was into soccer, he was into boxing, all sorts of we there was always sport on in the house. My dad took me to my first live sporting event was the 1983 All-Ireland semi-final between Dublin and Cork in the football, and I was only 3, just gone 4 years of age. And apparently my dad lifted me over the turnstiles. It was the old days when you could actually do that, bring the nipper in for nothing, and I went in. That was actually the year, for the older listeners will know, there was the year of the famous the 12 Apostles. When Dublin played Galway in the final, and they had 3 men sent off, and there was killings on the pitch, and so that was my first ever foray into live, going to a live match,
Did you
and then
make
during
the
the eight,
replay, Stephen?
no, funnily enough, and my dad was going to take me, but my dad was going down, my uncle Tony, and a mate of theirs who had a High Ace fan, and they were heading down to Cork in a High Ace fan for the semi final for the replay. And my mother was telling my dad, "There's no bloody way in effing and jeffing. There's no bloody way my little fella's going down the back of a High Ace fan down to Cork." But yeah, so I didn't make it. But so during the 80s, then, like I would have went to all sorts of sports with my dad. My mum and dad are both from Finglas originally. My dad is from Finglas East over Ballygall Parade. My mum was Wellmount Avenue and Finglas West. So I would have spent a lot of my summer time around Finglas over my dad's grandparents were passed away before I came along. My mother's parents, my grandparents were lived in Finglas for like right up until the 2000s. So I would have spent a lot of summers there as a kid, and I would have been brought down to Dalymount Park. My dad, my uncle, a couple other people who had us down at matches and stuff. So we would have been going to see bows, but never religiously, so my dad never, like, I was taken to the All-Ireland match as well over in Lansdowne Road. So it was just never like never became a regular thing. So that's kind of how I got a taste for it. But then, like, in my teens, then I also got a taste for rock and roll. I got into music big time. I was into DJing. I was big into going to see, music festivals, Homelands in the late 90s, then into the 2000s when all the kind of Witness, Auction, all those festivals were taking place. And then I got in, I played music as well. So, and I DJed as well. So I would have been playing gigs, DJing gigs, and football kind of got thrown to the wayside. Like I was, it never, that kind of, I suppose affected my ability to attend games. You were just like, it was all about, the sex, drink and rock and roll. It was, that's what it was as for me, late teens and my 20s. And despite the fact that I was still into football and I kept, I was a football fan, whatever, it just wasn't going to games. And I kind of regret that a little bit. But what happened was then, myself and a couple of mates started sharing a gaff in Stoneybatter around 07, 08, I think it was. And that's when I started working on IDFM. From there, I was kind of, I started covering the league, which is brilliant. You're kind of getting paid to go and watch League of Ireland matches, but also meant then as well, I was only down the road from Dalymount. So I started going back to Dalymount Park then as a supporter. And we actually moved then from Stoneybatter up to Fisbra, and we were about 7 or 8 years in Fisbra, Avondale Road, just up the road from one of the great Bohemians pubs there on the corner. And I used to be able to go to the laneway into Dalymount Park every Friday night. So I used to go over there, myself. There's a couple of lads I lived with, they weren't really into football. So I used to just go over myself. And then I got to know Brano actually, because Brano was working in media with RTE at the time. And we used to kind of see each other at going to Ireland games. And I remember one time I was like, James, who's that lad with the kind of the cool haircut? And he had a pair of Adidas trim stars on him, and they were yellow with black stripes. And I was going, geez, a real cool bastard that fella, isn't he? Like, I was wondering who he is. And then eventually, like, we'd bump into each other at Bose games.
A different, sorry, Stephen. This must be a different Brano we're talking about here. Cool bastard.
That's what I thought,
You
So
are.
I got chatting to Brano then at a couple of games. It was around, it would have been around 08, 09, and or maybe a little bit later, maybe 2010, 2011. And from there on in, like, kind of. Like, I have to say, like, be honest with you, and look, I've been kind of open about this stuff myself on social media. Like, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I was going through a bit of a rough spell, like, with mental health and that kind of thing. And I used to find going to games, I used to go on my own quite a lot, and I'd sit there and I was quite happy, just content sitting there on my own. It was almost a bit of just kind of, it was somewhere to go and kind of feel, there was a kind of a comforting feeling almost about going to watching a live football game, watching Bohemians. Despite the fact that things weren't going too well around that time, it was just, I just kind of felt at home there. It's a weird thing to kind of to try and put into words, but I suppose that's the essence of kind of where, my supporting of Bohemians came from. Like, I was kind of from dipping in and out as a kid and into my teens, and then to kind of it went to the wayside, and then kind of get more into it. And I think I got membership then kind of around 20, might have been 2016, 2017, like after I would have been going regularly, but then became a member. But yeah, that's my dream is when I'm a fan and not working in the media, I'm going to get a flag with the old Northern Soul, keep the faith fist. We're going to have North Side Soul. So it'll be like kind of the tip of the hat to my fingerless roots,
Keep the faith. No truer words used to describe Bohemian FC. It's probably a phrase we've used more often than not over the years.
Yeah,
100%.
one thing you relate with Bohemian FC is if you haven't got hope, you haven't got none, and all we ever had is hope.
That's it, absolutely.
Any particular highlights over the years, Steve, personally? I know there'll be the usual FA Cup semi-finals and that, but any standout moments for yourself or?
Yeah, do you know what? And it was funny because I couldn't really be a supporter at it. It was my first ever cup final as a journalist. It was the 08 cup final, Bohemians against Derry City. Glenn Crowe, Jason Byrne scored second half, wasn't it? And the match ended up going to extra time, and then penalties. It was the RDS. Like, from what I can remember, it was one of the coldest days. 23rd November, I was looking up the stats there, and it was freezing, absolutely freezing. And you're as a journalist, you're there waiting for the post-match interviews. But it was weird because I was there, like, here's my team in the cup final, it was great, won the cup and all that, but you kind of had to maintain your journalistic integrity, but that was bright. Like, that was an amazing day to be there to kind of cover from a different aspect. But I suppose that was kind of the tail end of what was a good era for Bose. It was starting to come to the end there, wasn't it, around that time. Another highlight always kind of sticks out in my mind. We went and did that game against Fehérvár, the Hungarian side, and myself and Detzer were on commentary for it, and it was, oh God, I thought we played so well that night, and poor El Wardy didn't have the luck on the night over Hungary. And it was just weird because I idolized Detzer for, so many years. And here I was, one of my heroes sitting beside me doing co-commentary on this absolutely crucial European game, and in which Bose were playing absolutely brilliantly, And actually, the was it the year before? Was the year before or the year after? Then we went on the run against and that match. And I know, look, the COVID thing was such a fucking, it just ruined everything, didn't it? Like, regards to the supporters' enjoyment of it, but I thought that night at the Aviva Stadium against Stjarnan, like, that was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? Like, it was, and I know it was, it wasn't ideal, like, having it so restricted regards to the numbers of supporters that could go, but like to absolutely, completely dominate and to convincingly beat a team like that in Europe, and to book that the next game against Pauk, like that was superb. I was actually commentating that game with Shane Supple that night, and it was just absolutely brilliant, But I suppose that away cup final and those European games kind of stand out to me, definitely.
Just touching on the COVID thing, Stephen. I don't know whether you remember this, but my first memory of having a chat with you was outside the hotel in
Yeah.
Newtown Mount Kennedy. Again, we'd been locked up for so long, and you'd missed interactions with Bohemian supporters and Bulls fans. I think I chased you around the park for a chat, and you couldn't get away from me quick enough. I just wanted to talk about Bulls, 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 as I was having my takeaway pint outside the hotel in Newtown Mount Kennedy there, But that always sticks with me because, as I said, it was the height of COVID, and you really missed the Bowles family during COVID. It was something that really, really I found difficult not being in touch with Bowles fans. And that night I met you, it lived long with me. We had a good old natter about Bowles, and yeah, it'll stick long in the memory, that one. That's small little things you remember, but there you
Yeah.
go.
Oh no, listen, Peter, absolutely. I can remember well myself, and I was more than delighted to meet a fellow Bows fan there and to have a chat, because I feel like in Newtown Mount Kennedy I'm surrounded by Rovers fans. Would you believe, actually, we've got a there's a family live across the road from us on our street, and they're all Rovers. Mad young fella there. He's what's he, about 9 or 10, handy little player as well. And I won't give out the names, obviously, but I have to say, I admired the shithousery when we moved in, and they sent over a lovely little housewarming gift to us. Apparently, the young fella said to his mother, he said, make sure you send over the housewarming gift in this bag. And we opened the door, and here we were sitting on the doorstep is this bag, the Shamrock Rover Superstore, with the housewarming gift inside it. And I was like, the little shit. But I had to say, I admired it. So I admired the shithousery there. It was a lad who was well brought up, you'd have to say.
You have to respect that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just touching something there. That COVID time, and was a bit grim, Bowes. I do often get a message every so often by someone, normally out of the head at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they'll often say to me, "Geez, John, you don't realise, I have to tell you how great the fucking podcast was over COVID." It just made us, connect that little bit more, rather than just a Friday night over the brand new stream. I'll often get pulled in the bar by some randomer, and just in general, you'd be surprised at the lunatics that end up in my DMs over the course of a Bohemian weekend, win or lose. So I do try to get back to everyone, but there'll be a lot of head cases, and we're all head cases, so I'm not putting them down in any sort of which way either. But we'll move on to the soccer men, which is why we're all here, which is why we all know each other. And we'll just touch on the Schalke game there. I didn't get to see much myself in the first half. Pete, you might be being there. Just there's a question on the trialist Sydney FC player, or former Sydney FC player. I'm seeing if you've seen much of him, or were you locked in the bar?
I was there, but I was there more in a social capacity than a studying football capacity. There was trips in and out of the bar, and there was a lot of chatting with mates and so on. So I didn't watch the game, like I'd normally do on a Friday night. So I can't really help you there. But the standout things were we looked really good. Tierney looked good from what I can remember. Yeah, it was I think more so than anything, it was a good day. Yeah, it was great to have a game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. I brought the little fella along. To be able to get the train home at a reasonable time. There's a big crowd there. I know there was, a couple of comments about the opposition and, there were a couple of incidents in town, but I personally had a great day. I think anyone that was there was definitely a worthwhile exercise for a Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, all positive. But in terms of what went on the pitch, I can't really help you in that regard.
Yeah, Peter, it's interesting there, because I'll be honest with you. Like, normally on a Premier League weekend, I have to watch games on a Saturday, because you need to obviously be on top of things on the Sunday when you're going to be talking about on the radio. So it was the first weekend where I didn't have to cover the Ireland team either. So it was the first weekend where I had a couple of days free. So we've got a little 3-year-old at home. I had to kind of look, and I was kind of taken to the game, and I was like, still kind of thinking, 3 years of age, just that he might just be that little bit young, so I might wait till next year to get him to Daily Mount for the first time. But I was obviously just following like the team news and stuff, and keeping an eye on, and I'm gonna go back and watch the game. And I saw a few people kind of saying, oh, it's a bit risky kind of starting all the first choice players and all that. But I was kind of thinking, do you know what, like, there was a 3-week break from the last game until Bohemians play Galway this weekend, which is, listen, and I've said on our podcast, it's ridiculous. It's a joke in a, I think, in a top flight, in anywhere in Europe where you can have 3 week break between games for a club at towards the end of the season. Like that's like that something the league need to look at. Bohemians or any club shouldn't be in that situation where they go for 3 weeks without a match. It's such an important part of the season. So I actually think that that game and playing all those players was actually probably a good thing in the end, because it's so important to keep those players ticking over before they take on what's going to be a difficult match against Galway this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a good clip to it, like, and we kept going till the end. He made a couple of changes, but even to get the late winner, and Schalke came on strong the last 20 minutes. So definitely a worthwhile exercise. They needed a game, and hopefully we can take it into Friday night. But yeah, great one to bring the little fella to. Like, he got his picture taken with Dawson. Bucko picked him up and brought him onto the pitch after the game. So he was absolutely thrilled. So he thinks he's going to Galway on Friday night now, but I'll have to drop that in the conversation that he won't be leaving school early and going to Galway on Friday, you know.
What
Start
age is he?
even
Sorry.
He's five. Five.
Boy,
Football crazy, football mad though, you know. So he's
and our other pal Bodge as well. I think he brought his son for the first time this year as well. And I think he might be just a bit older than your fella as well. So it's always you're kind of thinking, you know, what's the kind of right age to bring them at, like, you know, because it is.
Yeah.
And like, listen, we all love Daily Mount and all that kind of stuff, but there's the little things, like, you know, just I suppose the smoke from the flares and the cigarette smoke and
Yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
that. Kind of, you know, maybe they're a bit too young still, but yeah. Anyway, I don't want to be getting too down on the Jody stand or anything like that, you know.
Enjoy while it's still here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I suppose we'll touch on the competitive football side of things, and our last outing feels like a lifetime ago now, in fairness, was the Rovers game out in Tallaght. Thankfully, I was on the other side of the world and stayed up and watched the a valiant debt in Tallaght as per usual. We seem to always put on a show, but dying our boots, as we'd say. I thought we were a bit naive at times, and I thought the new lad, Ondike, or sorry, I'll call him Jibs for easier
Adekina,
purposes. Yeah, I call him Jibs because I believe that's what he likes to be referred to as. So I just seen, particularly for the second goal, that I remember just how easily he was sold. And before he even made the decision to go for it, I said out loud to my phone, "Don't do it." And he dived in, the ball was looped over his head, and Rovers get their second goal. It was quite a positive performance. Typically, we didn't get the penalty we should have got. Parsons probably not the right man to go down in the box, but looking at the recent Rovers, you know, raft the decisions they've got in the last few weeks and games, nobody seems to be able to get one over them. And when they're sort of on top of things, you sort of need those decisions to go your way.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like, you know, something you do always go into the Dublin Derby matches with, you know, the week building up to it, and there's a huge sense of tension and anxiety, and there's a knot in your stomach in the build up to these games. I was kind of, this might sound weird, I was probably the most relaxed I've ever been going into one of these games, because my thinking on it was that Bo's form had been so up and down going into that game, and also the fact that we'd beaten Rovers three times already this season, and I just couldn't see a season where Bohemians were going to beat Rovers four times, and especially a Rovers team that were looking like they were going to go and win the title. So I nearly almost, I think, resigned. I'd already been resigned to my fate going into that match. I kind of felt, and then for the team to come out and put on what was a decent enough performance, I felt for Adekina, because listen, the guy's obviously talented. There was a couple of flashes in previous games where you're thinking, yeah, this fella definitely has something. You don't play English League football 140, you don't play 140 odd games in English League football without being a good player. And it's a little bit like any kind of mid-season signing. You know, we won't see the best of him until he does a full pre-season with the squad. He trains with the squad, plays a few training games with the team before next season. That's when you'll see the best of Adekina. I think kind of being airlift or airdrop, what's the phrase for being airlifted into the squad midway through the season, and expect to see the best of him when he doesn't know anything about the league itself. He doesn't know anything about his teammates. He's going to make mistakes. And like, he was obviously moved out to right back pretty early on in that game when the when Alan Reynolds and Stephen saw like he was struggling, and probably was still struggling a bit out on that right hand side. Moran did okay in the middle, but like everyone knows, when Graham Burke gets on the ball 30, 40 yards from your goal, you don't give him 10 yards of space to run into. And that's not just on Ollie Keane, that's on the whole team. You know, who was there waiting to close down Graham Burke? Like, I just thought, because I had a brilliant side view of that particular goal, and I was just like, well, you cannot give him that kind of space to run into and to shoot. Like, it was complete madness from Bohemians, the defending of that. But look, listen, decisions went against Bows. You know, there was decisions I've gone against our Forest in other games. Like, I have to say, I wasn't too upset about it. John really stood out to me in that game, lads. I don't know if you would agree with this. I thought Cian Bourne was excellent. I think Cian Bourne, the first time I saw Cian Bourne when he came into the team as a teenager, I thought this fella has something about him. He's just lacking experience. And over the next couple of years, he made mistakes. People were very critical of him. Then I can remember Alan Reynolds doing a members kind of forum in the Jody stand there. Was it maybe the season before last? And I remember one member in particular standing up and saying, look, we want to see lads like Cian Bourne in the team. Look, he's going to make mistakes. He's young, whatever, but we want to see fellas from the academy coming through and playing the senior team. And it was up and down for him over a couple of years. Then he went out on loan to Galway at the start of the season. And I think that has been the making of Cian Bourne, because he obviously worked under Caulfield and poor old Ollie, may he rest in peace. And he played in a defensive midfield position. He took a couple of free kicks. He scored a couple of goals. He built his confidence up. And I think we're starting to see that now in his performances at centre back for Bohemians. I think he was really good. And it might sound crazy, you know, the Bohemians team, the last 2-1 away to Shamrock Rovers and all, but I was watching him throughout the whole game. I think he looks really confident on the ball. He's a brilliant passer of the ball. He can use both feet. He can pass with his left and his right. And I think Cian Bourne now has really become established in that Bohemians team. And that performance against Rovers, yeah, I don't know if you guys, if it stood out to you either, but I've really got huge hope for him now in the future.
Thought it was a positive performance, and again, similar to that, I don't think anyone could see us going up there and winning for the fourth time. But I think a draw would have been a fantastic result. But we were brave. We were brave in possession. We got on the ball. We went at them. We defended well for large parts. I think the criticism of our new fullback, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, is a little bit harsh. I mean, it's a very Bowes esque thing to do, is to write fellas off, you know, 5, 10, 15 games into their Bowes career. Just give them time, bear with them. There's going to be mistakes along the way. But I think overall, I was glad to get the game out of the way. And again, our destiny will be decided by the two home games against the other two, against Shells and Pats. So I'm glad that's out the way. It was a decent enough performance, but we move on from it quick enough.
Yeah, and here, don't let it pass as well. I should say the supporters were absolutely magnificent that night as well. The Bohemian supporters, like as good a support I've seen all season from an away section. They were absolutely magnificent, and yeah, fair play, absolutely brilliant stuff.
And just on that as well, a lot of people, even Shamrock Rovers supporters, have touched on that with me and said, God, they made a right out of a racket there that night. It was the best away support they've seen in Tallaght. So, yeah, that was a pleasant, it was good to see.
Yeah. So, B, have you done a U-turn on the drum?
No, I don't want the drum, but listen, no one's going to listen to me, you know what I mean? So, we'll leave the drum as it is, because I think the only time people listen to me is when I'm getting around in or, you know, organizing tickets. So, yeah, we'll leave the drum as it is for now. If we get Europe, you can bring trumpets, drums, bells, whatever the hell you like. But yeah, for now we'll live with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that Rovers game is coming past as it stands. I just had a quick check there on live score. This is during the Shelbourne game down on the Turner's Cross at the moment, and it's currently 1-0, unfortunately, to Shelbourne. So the table as it stands is that we're currently lying fourth in the division, unless Cork managed to pull back a goal, which is probably unlikely now at this stage. It looks like that it's going to be us lying fourth with a game in hand, two behind Shelbourne and four behind Derry City. We all felt we were getting swallowed up a couple of weeks ago. Well, I did anyway. I just thought that we were, drawing games and, losing silly games this could have been a lot easier had we beat. I know it's if buts and maybes and what about Reese, but those that get home game against Drogheda and Derry, those two games I think have probably really plummeted us into a chase where it could have been a bit more comfortable, but nothing that Bohemian FC has ever been comfortable as far as us three have ever been around.
No,
I
Joe, one
still.
thing Jordan, I'm glad about is I am glad that Bose played Waterford a couple of weeks ago. What was it, 19th of September? I was just checking the dates there because Waterford have to play Derry and Pats, isn't it? And we also, when he came in, Slater came in at Waterford earlier in the season because he frustrated Bose at Dalymount Park getting that 2-0 win. I think it's really good that Bohemians have got Waterford out of the way. And you know, Derry City, I know they're on 54 points. They're not like still not out of sight of the teams below them. And I think them against Waterford is going to be a really crucial game to watch. And then, of course, Waterford against Pats, I think the following week.
Yeah, definitely. It's important not to probably get too downbeat about when you look at the table. We haven't played in a few weeks. We do have games in hand, and we had games in hand, and we didn't make hay with those. But there's four games left, and we have to really grab the bull by the horns and get the maximum. I think the understanding is 6 points out of 12 will probably secure a top four European place. Realistically, we should be probably going for 9, possibly 10, given the fixtures and who we have at home and who we have away. We should be trying to get a maximum here. I think we should be going for 10 points in particular. But look, I'll just run through a couple of questions from people who have decided to message in. Someone had asked, was the Schalke game a waste of time and money? No, we've made quite a bit of money there. The club was definitely worth our while in terms of that. When you look at ticket sales and the Germans drank the place dry, from my understanding, in the bar. Someone's asked Shell's win.
Here, what was here? Hang on a minute. It wasn't just the Germans that drank the place dry. We made a good attempt at it as well. So, put a bit of kudos to the Irish boys as well.
Elton's oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe there was 30 kegs of Elton's drank dry in the Des Kelly bar.
Oh.
They ran out before full time, is my understanding. Shell's win makes Europe even more convenient. Yeah, we know that much. And
Thanks for that.
question. A question around signs for next year. I heard someone mentioned Sam Todd. I think it's probably a bit too early. We'll probably run through a few contracts here on the Bohemian side that we probably have to look at sorting before we eventually have to look elsewhere. But there's two keepers, man, Talbot and Casper. You just wonder what's going through both their heads. I don't think Casper signed a contract for next year, and you just wonder, well, Talbot probably won't stick around. Maybe he does stick around, but does Talbot want to stick around if Casper does go, it's hard to know.
Casper's been fantastic. I know a couple of errors, but by and large, he's been fantastic. Even looking at him on Saturday, he pulled off a couple of really, really good saves. And what I like about Casper as well is as soon as he makes a save, he's back up again. He's back at it again. He's great flexibility. I'd love to get him tied down for another year or two. I know it probably makes it difficult given he's not a local keeper, but he's been really, really, really good. So hopefully we can get him tied down. I'm not sure what his situation is. Whether he's open to staying or not, but yeah, I'd love to keep him.
Yeah, 100%. Like he went through that kind of bit of a dodgy spell towards the end of the last season, and I wasn't really critical. I wouldn't have been critical of him, more so the fact that Reynolds still hadn't really nailed down, a solid kind of back centre back pairing, and I just felt that kind of lack of consistency with the pick of, I always call it the defensive triangle, the goalkeeper and the two centre backs. That's like a really key combination, I think, on the pitch. And it never seemed to be a consistent pick there for Rennie and Stevie. And I just feel that there's been a bit more kind of consistency there. Look, I know obviously there's been Rob's had his issues and that kind of stuff at the back, but there's generally the same two or three players have been picked in front of Casper all season. And I just think it's given him a bit more confidence and a bit more understanding with the players that are playing around him. And yeah, he's been sensational again this season. Like he hasn't really, obviously James Talbot came in starter for the Rovers game, first game of the season, and lost his place a few games after that. Like, I don't know what the story is with James. We all know James personally, as a bloke, he's just an absolute diamond of a fella. He's had his struggles over the years, and thankfully, we hope he's over the worst of those, and he seems to be in good form. And I see him at matches, and he's always one of the players to give you a shout and say hello to you, you know. And I don't know what his own ambitions are. Like, you know, what the, is he happy to kind of maybe kind of stay with Bohemians as a backup keeper, you know, maybe try and get into the starting team again next year. I don't know. That's all down to James. There are questions you have to answer himself. And a bit like what Pete was saying about Casper, like, I don't know what his personal situation is. Like, does he want to go back home? Does he, is he happy with the life he's living here in Ireland? But you'd imagine, you know, he might be looking for better terms of a contract maybe for next year if he was to stay around. But it would be really gut wrenching to lose a keeper of his quality. Like, arguably, is he the best or one of the best in the league based on form this season? Like, McGinty's been pretty good for Rovers. You know, he's liable to drop a clanger here and there. Dennison maybe start off the season well for Drogheda United. I don't know how he's kind of finishing it out. Joe Anang probably hasn't been great for Pats this season. So you could, like, there's an argument there that with Kaspar Arrasca is the best keeper in the league based on form currently at the moment.
Yeah, just on Talbot, like if there's anyone, the club obviously comes before any individual, but Talbot is not going to play at Bowes. You'd love to see him go elsewhere, get game time, and you know, show everybody what made him the keeper he was and what got him into the Ireland squad. As you said, he's a great lad. He's a Bowes man. He'll always be a Bowes man. But as I said, I just when I see him on the bench, I just think it's an awful waste. Because I know how good he can be, and I'd love to see him. You know, as I said, if it's not at Bowes next year, I'd love to see him go somewhere else and really revive his career and breathe a bit of oxygen into it. Because he's a fantastic goalkeeper, he really is. And just on the subject of Europe, I'll never forget the save he pulled off in Inchicore the last time we qualified for Europe. The one he touched over the bar was one of the best saves I've ever seen. It was just fantastic. So I hope for his sake it works out, and as I said, if it's not at Dalymount somewhere else, and get him back playing, get him back on the pitch, because he's a great goalkeeper.
Yeah, you look around, where could he end up? Unlikely anywhere in Dublin, Dundalk possibly. It's probably his maybe his only Dublin area outage. But Talbot's a mad
Great.
fucker too. You could see him anywhere across the continent. Like, you wouldn't be surprised if he should have to Australia and end up playing in the lower divisions there. You just don't know where. But I do hope he does best what's for him, because you know he's a Bowes man since he's a kid, and you know we want to one of our own to do well, whether that be with us or elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
And look, there's another few contracts. We'll just go through the back line. Flores, Cornwall, Bourne, and I think Mountney are up at the end of the season. I'd be keeping Flores, I'd be keeping Cornwall, I'd be keeping Bourne. Mountney, I'm not too sure. I know he's not on the biggest wage in the world. Well, I don't know, but my understanding would be that I'd be looking to probably keep three of those anyway.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Jordan. I think I would have said exactly what you've just said there, because you know, Rob Cornwall is one of the most experienced centre backs in the league, and he I've seen him still, whether he be starting games or, you know, coming off the bench, he offers huge amount with that experience, because you know what he lacks maybe in pace now, he certainly makes up for an experience in the way he's able to, you know, move strikers, you know, out of the central position of pitch, or, you know, kind of just ease lads off the ball inside the box out, creating a foul. Like, he's really, really, really good player. And I think he's one of those good experienced players to have in the squad that's going to benefit the likes of Keane Byrne or other young players who are coming through. And here were the other two you mentioned, like Byrne. Well, look, I've spoken at length there about Keane Byrne already, and I'll be trying to nail him down for a couple of years. I think Jordan Flores, who, like any Bowes supporters who I'd meet at games, would probably know I've been critical of Jordan Flores a fair bit over the last few years. But this year, and maybe the second half of last year, wow, like what a player he has been for Bohemians. And not to sound silly here, like, you know, apart from Dawson Devoy being so sensational this season, if you maybe put him out of the equation for a moment, there's an argument maybe to be made for Jordan Flores being the player of the year for Bohemians, because his, like, what used to annoy me about Jordan Flores sometimes was he just maybe just lacked that bit of conviction when he was going into tackles, that always kind of felt like you never knew whether he was going to tackle the opposition man with the ball or not. And he has been absolutely brilliant this year, both defensively, his ball distribution, and he's just so clever with the ball sometimes. His match intelligence is brilliant. And he can hit passes that no other player in that team can hit as well. He's got that brilliant, the no-look thing. He's able to bend balls in a way that other players can't. Like, he's just, I think he's been absolutely brilliant, and fair play to him, because he's gone from, attacking midfielder to a deep line midfielder, now to a fullback. Like, he's been brilliant. And I suppose a lot of that down to the coaching as well that he's got from Rennie and Stevie. So fair play to him. He's been brilliant this year. I definitely try and nail him down for another couple of years, I think.
Yeah, I'd be the same, but it's been a huge turnaround. And he still owes us a free kick for this season. We still haven't seen a free kick this season, so I hope he's keeping one for our shells, our pats, and we can give him his new contract once he buried one in the net for to get us into Europe. I suppose you probably have to be careful what you wish for a little bit. I know it's easy to say we need to clear out, we need to get rid of him, and him, but the market has gone so difficult now for Bowes, and especially with shells, firing. Pats will always fire in the transfer market. Rovers will be Rovers. So we have to realise where we are in terms of picking up players and our capabilities in terms of getting the players into the club. So if you're letting these guys go, you have to make sure that you have someone lined up that's going to be better than come in, because it's so difficult. And we've seen how difficult it can be to get players in the door the last couple of years, without taking major gambles. So I'd be happy to keep all those players. I'd keep Mountie. I don't think Mountie's let us down any time he's come on. So if he's fit and ready to go, I'd be more than happy to give Mountie another year. He looks fit as a fiddle there on Saturday.
If you have a look at the amount of players we've gone through in the fullbacks, whether it be loans or they just didn't work out. The idea was, when Paddy Kirk left, it was like, I think Flores was meant to be the backup left back, and we just couldn't get a left back in. So, even getting rid of Paddy Kirk and not having a backup left back, we have sort of left ourselves short, as you touched on, Pete, such as the League of Ireland and Bohemian market at the minute. I think you touched, I think Cornwall should be one of the first names signed up with it. I'm a big advocate of him. Think of all the centre halves he brought in the last 2 seasons, and he's done his ACL, he's come back, and he might have found himself out of team once or twice, but he manages to get himself back in. And as you said, Stephen, he might not be a league winning centre half, particularly as it stands. I think his experience is invaluable in our back line, and you can see that just even with the concessions of goals. I know Gretton was important beside him in terms of being a footballing centre half more as such, but Cornwall's been instrumental in that back two pairing at the time as well.
Yeah, just can I say something else about Rob as well? Because, when I said I cover all sports in my job, whether it be, GAA, rugby, boxing. Well, that's a bad choice, actually. I'm talking about team sports here, but,
Rob was a boxer, in fairness, back in the day.
that's true. But like, the best teams and the teams that win, league titles and cups and stuff, it's not just about the playing ability and the manager's tactics and all that kind of stuff. A lot of it boils down to the character in the dressing room and how players carry themselves on the pitch and how players represent their club. And I think with that in mind, I don't think you'll find many better men than Rob Cornwall that carry themselves in such a professional way, that are sound fellas who look after their teammates and who represent the club in such a brilliant way as well. And I couldn't speak more highly of a player as Rob Cornwall, because I think he is just one of those really genuinely brilliant fellas and lovely fellas to have in a dressing room. That's really important as well.
Yeah, well, I echo that. He's also a top man off the pitch too. We'll move into the midfield bracket now, and we'll go. I'd imagine we'll stay if he's offered a contract. I'd imagine Reynolds might keep him. I'm not sure if he wants to keep him around for the dressing room. He doesn't seem to give him too much game time these days, but maybe to keep the fans on side. But Pete, you did touch on there's a club aspect to this too.
Yeah, Hooker was great the first part of the season. I mean, he came into loads of games and closed them out for us. I think we'll see the value of Hooker now in the next couple of games. Really, really, really big games, and he will play a part in those games. I mean, is there anyone else you'd want to bring a player on to either speed it up or to slow it down? If we're chasing the game against Shelter Path, or we're looking to slow the game down, Booker will be involved in those games. I've absolutely no doubt about it. So, yeah, if Booker's fit and healthy, I'd be giving him another year. Absolutely. He still has a part to play. great in the dressing room, no doubt. And yeah, I'd be keeping Bucco, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Like, again, you go back to character and having somebody in a dressing room who's a leader, and it doesn't. The one thing about Bucco as well is that even though he has lacked game time this season, I'm sure, look, as a professional sports person, a professional footballer, I'm sure it's frustrating for him not playing more minutes. But the one thing you'll see with Bucco is that when he gets on that pitch, he absolutely spills his guts for the team. He'll do whatever he can to try and win a point or win 3 points, whatever the case may be in that particular situation. And he'll play wherever he's asked, he'll do whatever he's asked. And that is the perfect professional that a manager wants in the dressing room. So he's never let Bohemians down. Give him another year, I'd say. He looks after himself. I don't Bucco doesn't drink, does he? From what I can remember, he's a teetotal, is he?
No, he doesn't. I think he tried it once when he was away in Thailand, I think, with Lopez years ago, and it just wasn't for him.
So there you go. It's another thing, and that's something I hope, professional footballers prolong their careers. We're seeing a lot more footballers these days playing into the late 30s, early 40s. And listen, I wouldn't be expecting Bucco to play into his early 40s for Bows. Nobody deserves that, but I'm joking, of course. I do think he's fit and he's in good shape, and definitely I'd keep for another year, absolutely.
Yeah, McDonald, another man I'd be doing well to keep. I think he should be on the pitch more. I think he was pivotal in our good run of form. He seems to have found himself in my eyes, madness out on the left wing back position. I think he's wasted there. I think Aidan Madden made a comment as well on Twitter in regards to that. But I'd be definitely getting him on signed up for next season, and I think I'd be playing him, starting him alongside Dawson from here at the end of the season.
Yeah, you'd be sorry, Jordan, you got me starting Adam McDonald. This has been my absolute. I've been banging on about this fella for 2 or 3 years. I think he's one of the most underappreciated midfielders in the league, not just at Bohemians. I just there's something about McDonald. The first thing that struck me about him a couple of years ago is his ability to win back possession, to turn over possession in the middle of the field without causing a foul or giving away a foul free kick or getting himself booked. And I remember that early podcast I did in Off the Ball interviewing him a couple of years ago, and I asked him about that, and he was like, yeah, that's actually something I've been working on, is how to come from behind. And Joe, again, I'm not comparing Bohemians with Liverpool here, but there was a real art to the way Jurgen Klopp coached his Liverpool team, in the ability to be able to chase an opposition player down from behind and to win the ball from them without tripping them over or conceding a free kick. And it's something I think Adam McDonald has been brilliant at for a couple of years. And since then, I think he's a lot fitter now than when he first came to Bohemians. He's got a brilliant engine. He'll run up and down the field all day, box to box. I think he's got better at passing as well. His passing has been much better. His game intelligence is much better. And I think this season has been his best season. I think he's been excellent. I thought it was incredible that he was left out of the starting team against Shamrock Rovers. I could not understand that at all. I thought he was the essence of that Bows team that you would have needed on a night like that at Tallaght Stadium. So I'm his biggest fan. His dad is a Bows fan. He joked to me at the time. He says, if he ever goes home, Bows haven't won. He doesn't get a dinner when he goes back to the gaff. But I think he's renting outside. He's not at home with his dad now at the moment, as far as I know. But that's they're the kind of fellas you want at the club as well. That there's a bit of Bo's history there in the family. It's always a good thing. So yeah, big fan of his, and may he have more. The only thing I'd be critical of him as well is maybe he needs to improve his shooting, I think, because I think when he's over in the lower leagues over in England, he did take free kicks with his left. He's got a decent left peg on him. I just wish he might maybe get better at shooting. He's taking shots at times from outside the box, and he's just maybe just lacking that bit of power or accuracy. That's just the one thing maybe I'd be a bit critical of him, and that maybe needs to get better at.
Think of the team, they can all improve for shooting. Like, I think sometimes we try to score the perfect goal instead of just letting fly sometimes. But yeah, many times you can scream and shoot, 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 and it's ballooned into that terrace. I don't know how many balls we've lost this season, but way more than we should. They seem to be forever going into Fibster, but yeah, think of the team, we could all do better with the long range shooting.
Bit of breaking news there, lads. Sorry, I know this podcast will be gone out after the fact, but there's been an equaliser down at Turner's Cross. Shawnee Maguire, 79 minutes.
We'll say nothing for the moment. We'll sit on
We'll
it.
say nothing for the moment, but I'll tell you what,
It'll be clipped up and put off everywhere if we start saluting that goal now. So we'll hold off.
I think we've resigned then to losing Clark as such. We'll get what we can out of him this season. But Colly Whelan, and there's a man that scored there. I'd love to see Maguire come up. Also,
I want to
where
interrupt.
he lives. Sorry,
Sorry,
Steve, go
Jordan.
ahead.
I want you here, Clarkie. What will you tell me? What's going on here? Is he definitely? We've lost number 26. Have we?
I think we've lost him. Yeah, he hasn't signed the contract. I know, I've heard he's been offered a contract, and ultimately, I think he wants to explore England. There's always going to be a few rumours from the other side of the M50 that will take him away. I'm not so sure how strong he'd be out there. I'm not sure if he suits our style. I know a player of his class act will fit into any team, but I think he's a lot more physical. I think he's I think that number nine role will do him the world of good if he goes playing league football. Okay, I don't think he'll understand how beneficial that would have been to him until probably he lands on the shores. Hopefully he does that direction. I'd hate to see him over the other side of the M50. I know Ryan Robban out in Blanchardstown will probably burn out his bedroom while he's in it if those rumours start going around. But
I
yeah, I
asked him on
think.
Saturday. He just grinned at me. So I don't know. Take that whatever way you want. But I just said, "Don't do it, Clarkie. Don't do it." He had a little grin. So we'll see. But yeah, like listen, I've said it when rumors are circulating. I think I said it to yourself, Jordan. There's very few players there that I'd lose any sleep over. They're a good bunch, but like ultimately, I want that club in Europe. I want the team in Europe, and you can take the lot of them, we'll sacrifice the whole lot of them just to get us into Europe, with the exception of maybe Dawson Devoy. But it's all just about getting into Europe this season. After that, take who you want, but just get us into Europe. And listen, you can go wherever you want then after that.
Steve, your thoughts on Clark?
Yeah, like I just, what can you say about him? I do think there's maybe times where he dips out of game sometimes. I still think he's. Maybe it's been always been one of his kind of Achilles heels where, that consistent 90-minute performance. I suppose it was more a more common trait of his maybe a couple of years ago, and he's flushed it out a bit more. I think he is consistent. He's better consistently over 90 minutes now, but I do think he still has little lapses in games where he's quiet maybe for the first half and then kind of explodes in the second half. So that's something you really, really need if you're going to go over to England and survive the what really is the struggles of the lower leagues in the UK, or would it be League One or League Two, but like when he's on his game, like the lad is sensational. He's got that brilliant thing with the great footballers where when he's running with the ball, he's dribbling with the ball, he just looks like he's gliding. It's like his feet aren't moving, he's just gliding because he just takes care of the ball so well when he's dribbling. And he's really smart. He plays some really clever passes and, in and around the box and all. He's an absolute joy to watch. He's a sensational footballer when he's at his best.
Yeah, I think the number nine position, as I said, that would probably help in the UK because I watched a bit of League One football. I was at a few games last year watching Wrexham a few times, and it's like a different sport to the League of Ireland in terms of physicality. And League of Ireland has played a lot more on the deck than League One football was. I think it was Wrexham and it might have been Charlton, and it was just everything was ball down the channels, try find space, pick up second balls around the edge of the box. It's a lot more physical, a lot more direct than I think League of Ireland probably gets credit for.
Yeah, the way we're describing all these players, there should be no problem winning the last four games and getting into Europe. They're all world beaters. If you was all...
But we will
We don't
move
want to
on
lose
to
anybody. They're all great.
yeah we
Yeah,
will,
yeah.
we will move on to this double header weekend and the Women's FAI Cup final too. Galway away
Yeah.
on Friday. I think we're all under the agreement that 6 points will get you top four. Doesn't guarantee that Cork won't win the cup, but I think we can all agree that six will probably get you top four. Seven should get us top three.
Yeah, you think so? And look, this talk of getting top four, I think would be absolutely, it would be angering the Turner's Cross faithful ahead of that cup final, because I'd say that Jerry Nash and David Moyler and all the players would be thinking they've got a chance of winning that cup final against Shamrock Rovers. Now, listen, I suppose if you're to take it on form, if you're to take it on the quality of their squads, if you're to look at the two semi-finals, and especially the way Cork City took care of Kerry, or sorry, Shamrock Rovers took care of Kerry in their semi, like the logical breakdown of that final will be that Shamrock Rovers will win it and win it maybe by 2 goals. But we've seen cup finals before where there is a heavy favourite going in and there's an upset, you know. So you wouldn't complete, like everybody thought Derry City were going to take care of Drogheda last year. And I understand Drogheda were probably they were a better team, albeit they were second from bottom last season and beat Derry City in the cup finals. So who's to say that Cork City don't have a brilliant day and Shamrock Rovers have a bad day? And then, you know, the team in fourth position then is looking or has got a bit of egg in their face. So I still think I'd like Bohemians to get it, finish in that third position just to be safe. I wouldn't like to be finishing fourth and then hoping that you're hoping for a favour from Shamrock Rovers in the final. I'd like to see Bohemians get the business done and get that third place sewn up before or by the end of the season. I do think they can do it. Like it's Galway away. It is a tough game to get toward this, you know, this close to the end of the season, and especially with Galway, you know, scrapping for their lives and trying to get points to get themselves up the table. But I just worry for them now at this stage. I think, you know, there's been incidents at the club, you know, off the pitch there over the year, and I think it's really kind of knocked them off kilter a bit, and it's really sad to see. And I do think it's good to have a strong Galway United and to have that away trip every you know, a couple of times every season. It'd be a shame to see them go down. You'd fancy them maybe in a relegation playoff, but Bows have to be winning this game on Friday. But could I say that they're, you know, for sure that Bows are going to get in and win that game? Absolutely not. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It won't scare you with our away record. I think we were talking up earlier. We've only won 5 games away from home all season. Since May, we've only beaten Cork away from home. So it's by absolutely no stretch of the imagination a foregone conclusion that we're going to win down here. I think Friday night probably pivotal. I think if we're turned over on Friday, the anxiety in Dalymount Park on Monday night will be just through the absolute roof. And we don't seem to play well when the crowd are at us or the crowd are irritated. So on the flip side of that, if we can win on Friday and bounce into Monday, I'd have every chance we'd run Pats off the park. But I think Friday is going to be the making of it. I think we'll know after Friday, because they know now there's no more second chances. This is it. We slip up and we're in big trouble. So hopefully they react. And hopefully we get the job done, and then you start thinking Monday. Monday's a cup final then. Well, don't tell the players a cup final. We don't have a great record in cup finals, but we can tell them it's a huge game against Pats, and if we win it, there's European football at the end of it.
Yeah, and actually, just you say about the home away form, Pete, like the form over 10 games there, the last 10 games, like Bows have 13 points, Galway 5 points, is, you know, 8 points between them over the last 10 matches. Well, Bows got 3 wins, 4 draws, and 3 defeats. Like that's not great form at all, coming to this stage of the season. It really does have to improve for those last few matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was looking even then, though, you know, I think we've done well beating teams who are down on their luck. Recently, Cork were in a bad state. We got the win over them in Dalymount, handy enough. We played Galway at home, they were down on their luck, and we beat them. And we played Waterford recently before they got the new manager in, and they seem to be a bit of a beaten docket too. But so I think we've been quite good at it. However, I think I've pinpointed this fixture in group chats for the last probably 4 or 5 or 6 weeks saying we're going to fucking lose this. I've just had it in my head, but this is going to be a slip up. I'm normally
On
wrong,
the
so
flip
I can
side,
prove wrong.
just on the flip side of the away form there, lads, like our home form has been excellent. Like we've the second most points. Rovers have 36 points accumulated at home. We've 31 points. So 16 played, 10 wins, 1 draw, and 5 defeats. And you'd argue a couple of those defeats were soft, but you know, the 2 home games again, you know, it's there for us. It's still in our hands. But again, it'll come down to Friday. It really sets us up with 2 home games in a row if we can win Friday. It's just that big. It's that pivotal Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I
Bad
don't know.
news and bad news in Cork.
Yeah, I'm
That's
just
all I'm
looking at
saying.
that there now as well
Yeah, I
too.
saw that. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Jordan. Like I don't know what you and like Pete as well afterwards. Like I just can't get away from this the feeling that it's going to come down to the last day because, like, it is so tight up there at the top, and there's still so many teams with so many chances to try and get themselves into Europe. Yeah, like the fixtures in the last day are incredible. Bohemians, of course, away to Drogheda United. I just can't see any other world where Bows aren't going to up to Evers Park, or sorry, Sullivan Land Park now, needing something on that last day. Like, it just seems like the way the season has gone right across the board, like, you cannot bank on any team in this division. You really cannot bank on any team. And there's going to be a couple of mad results over these next couple of rounds of games. And I just feel that Bows are going to go to Drogheda on that last day of the season, needing something, whether it be a point or three.
I think we'll be okay down there. I know we've lost 4-1 against Drogheda, but it's one of those. Can you see Drogheda down the clean sweep? And this probably come back and bite me in the Harris. But you know, we're due a result against them, and there'll be no better time.
Yeah, Pete, what do you reckon? Last day, is it going to come down to that?
Been trying to use my math head on this, and I'm trying to, you know, lay out all the permutations. So if it comes down to the last day, guess that we've been beaten by Pats and Shells, because I suppose if we're to win in Galway on Friday and we're to win either one of those games with Shells and Pats to play each other, I think we might be okay. So I'm not sure how that plays out.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it'd be, hopefully Rovers show up in Inchicore this Friday. I
I
can
think they
imagine what that
will.
is.
I know that they only need a point, but they won't want to be beaten twice in a week by Shells and Pat. I'd fully expect Rovers to take up not Pat on Friday, but then Pat could have the wounded animal thing about them after Cork as well. You just don't know. How many times we tried to second guess results and work out tables in our heads, and it just Shells are on a phenomenal run of form. If you look at their point, the Shells are actually gone ahead of us on the table tonight. Bananas, like, you know.
Yeah, it's seems to be coming up Millhouse in Drumcondra at the minute, unfortunately for us, and you know, we have to look after our own business. Friday, Monday game, Pats on Monday. Again, if we win Friday, it could be a partisan atmosphere. Going into the Monday game, like you said, Pete, it could be nearly, you know, one before it's kicked. I hate to use that term, but if Rovers do the job on Friday, we do the job, that's Pats completely out of the equation.
Well, that'd be 7 in it with 3 to go. Yeah, so a draw would probably do us. A win would totally kill Pats that night. That'd put us 10 ahead with 2 to go. So that'd totally kill them. That's the dream. And then you have Drogheda. I mean, again, you mentioned Cork fans may be upset, like, about being written off. I think Cork are the only supporter in the world that'd be getting upset about being written off against a team that's won 5 out of the last 6 leagues. Has qualified for Europa Conference League, and Cork themselves been relegated, and they're getting upset that people, you know, think that they might win the cup. You know what I mean? But that's Cork for you. Drogheda as well have a couple of good games to play, so we can't discount Drogheda as well. You know, I think they're going to be in it probably the last game of the season, one way or the other as well. So, it's really getting it's it we're really getting attacked from everywhere.
Yeah, I think there was a stage, wasn't it? I think was it Devine's last full term, or probably his only full term, that I think at half time, the final game of the season, we were actually fourth. Dundalk were losing, and Shells were losing, and then of course results turned around. So I hope we're not in that position. I hope that we go down to Drogheda and enjoy a few drinks and have a few blow up, you know, lolos and whatever on the away end, and it's a bit easier, but it never comes easy, unfortunately.
No, I know.
So we're gonna get to give you a bit of a result on Friday night's game. I said I have a terrible feeling about it, but I'm hopeful we can come out with a 1-0 win. Take anything. I'll take 7-6. I'll take 20-19. I'll take an offside handball. Anything, Stephen. What's your prediction ahead of Friday?
Yeah, Galway, like, it's always you're always going down there with a bit of trepidation and a little bit concerned, a little bit worried. But, like, generally Bohemians have been okay down there. You know, it's I'm trying to I had notes there on the last on the head-to-head. Like, Bohemians have won two of the last three. One was home, one was away. That away win was the one in May. That was the famous Sean Grehan, wasn't it? Late on, there was a couple of draws then. Before that, generally Bows have been okay down in Terryland, and there's the famous cup win there, of course, 23 in the semi final. So yeah, I think there's no surprise be going down there with a bit of worry and a bit of fear. And hopefully there's something, there's the players sense a bit of that, because that'll keep their mind sharp. But I'm going to go for the same scoreline as May. I think Bohemians will beat Galway United 2-1.
Pete.
Yeah, I tell you one thing about it, lads. I'm glad that we'll finally have a bit of clarity in the next week or so, because phone calls, texts, discussions, will we, won't we, just feel like I'm playing the fixtures over my head every single day of the week. So in terms of clearing the head, I cannot wait till we know our fate, whether it's good, bad or indifferent. If it's good, fantastic, we start our saving kitty for Europe. If it's bad, we can switch off for the off season and come to terms with it. But I just, my coping mechanism with it all through the tough defeat is that we're going to do it. We're going to get there, and we'll get there in the end. So I'm not going to roll back on that now. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 Bowls win in Galway. And that sets up an absolute firecracker down on Monday against Stephen Kenny's men. So yeah, I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to stick with them. And we're going to do the business 1-0 on Friday.
I'm just getting a bit of a flashback. Remember, we went to Inchicore that time in 2019, I believe. And I just felt there was a bit of air of inevitability about that result before we went into the game. I think we all thought we were going to qualify that night. We all believed it. We all had a bit of a post-party planned in our head, even though we went down to, I think we went down to 10 men after about 60 minutes. Finity got sent off that night. But I think if we can win on Friday and bring and Pats can lose and maybe a shells or a draw the results. Like if draw they can't afford to slip up either, really. They can't probably lose a result against us. I think there's about 6 or 7 points behind at the minute. I'm not sure, probably should check the table, but they probably can't really afford to lose ground with 3 games to go after Friday either. So I think if we can win, get a result or two going against, I think it'll be a real partisan atmosphere, and maybe that will feed into the pitch, as you said, Pete. But we'll
Yeah.
dig in. Stephen Kenny, we don't know which way this could go, this cup game. He could be looking to cut ties now with some of the squad that he believed in last season, or he could be looking to see what they've got in them and what can they bounce back with now at this stage. They've had a few letdowns. I think Mulroney's probably showed up in patches, and El Bezzetti, I think, has probably been a real letdown for the league too, since he probably signed back, probably for our happiness as such.
I tell you, whatever you do say about Pat, they can turn up on any given night and they can hurt you because they have quality. And they could still come to Daly Mount and turn us over, So it'd still be a huge ask to beat them on the Monday night. But as I said, if we have Friday under our belts, it'll make it a lot easier. But people talk about the run in and big games and how enjoyable it is. It's absolutely awful. It's my stomach is churning even thinking about some of the outcomes here, especially with that late goal going in for shells there. So it's not one bit enjoyable, but hopefully we can come out of it the right side. I still believe we will.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's, yeah, the Pats games, like they're always, I don't know, like it's, you can never predict a Bowes Pats game, really, can you? You don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be a red card. There's going to be some mad penalty decision given away against one of the teams. Like it's just, yeah, only a fool would predict what's going to happen between the two sides. And it'd be very much what, backing up what Pete said there about St. Pat's, like you just don't know, and especially this season, which Pat's is going to turn up, because when they're really, really good, they've been really, really good. But then, as we saw down at Turner's Cross, they can be horrendous as well on the night. I think one key thing is that the Bohemians midfield on the night, whoever it is going to have to be aggressive and in their faces, not to give them an inch, and especially Chris Forrester, if he's playing, like you just. A player like him, you just have to get in his face and not give him an inch in such an important game. And I'm sure that's something that Rennie and Stevie will be alive to, and they're making their game plan out before that Monday.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to see the team selections for both games. You'd imagine, we've had a few weeks off. We had a competitive friendly as such. I think the players went full tilt at it. There was no pulling out or any half measures. I think we have the ability to, switch in a few positions, but I'd like to see Douglas James Taylor start both games. That means bringing Whelan on with 10 minutes to go, Chasing Brody or not. I don't know. That's up to the management to decide, and I think we just need to go full strength here. There's no dropping players, no resting anyone for Monday. I don't think we can. can't afford to drop points or to drop teams. I think if we're out of gas on Monday night or 60 minutes ago, then we can make those changes that maybe we should have made or thought about making on Friday. I think we just need to get the strongest 11 on both double header.
Yeah, I'd agree, Jordan. I
Absolutely.
don't think at this stage
Absolutely.
there's no mucking about with teams and all. Take him out with the rest team for the just start your best team. That's it, you know. And if a player gets injured, unfortunately, you know, we miss the next game. Or, you know, if one of your best players can only play 60 minutes, playing for the first 60 minutes, don't be messing about with rotation and all that at this stage of the season. Just put out your best team, try and get the win, try and get the goals on the board early as possible.
Yeah, and so we'll get a score prediction off you for Monday. Has there been no podcast back-to-back wins, are we?
Listen, why not? We might as well dream here is in the bed. So I'm going for 2-1-0 wins, 1-0 on Friday, and 1-0 on Monday night. An OG off who we pick for our OG? An OG off Forrester, corner kick, and an OG off Forrester in the 89th minutes to 10 bows to Europe, and the best Monday night party you've ever seen in your life.
What did you see? You both said 6 points, didn't you?
Yeah.
I what if this happens, right? Bows go beat Galway United Friday night, and then draw with Pats, draw with Shells, and draw with Drogheda.
That
I
would
could get
be
my
enough.
calculator out here. Hang on, Stephen.
Well, there's your 6 points, but
I think that'd be enough.
I could actually see that happening. I just have that Pats game. I'd be a little bit worried about it, you know, just that
Well, if it is a thing we draw with Pat, say for argument's sake, worst case scenario, Pat beat Rovers on Friday, we beat Galway, so we keep that 4 point gap. We draw with Pats, we're still four ahead of them. We get two more points, that's 6 points ahead of them. Then we'd come down to goal difference. If they won their last two games, we'd be level on points with Pats.
I've a funny feeling it could be back-to-back draws
That's
against
Pats need a lot of breaks to go for them. Like for Pats to overtake us, they need to really be flawless from here. They'll need to beat Shells. They probably need to beat us, Shells and Rovers to qualify for Europe.
I think they could be out of running, hopefully out of running come Friday. That's obviously the hope, that's the dream. That's what's
And
going
the
on.
thing is,
Think
we
so?
have it in our
We're
we
putting
have it
together that.
in our hands that we can take them out. We can take them out on Monday night, you know. So that's the what a great incentive that is. Not only do you do your own business, you take one of your nearest and dearest out of the equation as well. It'd be glorious. But listen, we won't get ahead of ourselves.
And as I said, look earlier, they still have to play Waterford as well. I just think that Waterford's they're a really tricky team to be playing now with the new manager bounce and fighting relegation. That's not a good fixture for Pats to have before the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I'd echo that. So we're all hoping for six. We'll more than happily take four. Two would be a bit of a head scratcher for the old simulation for the rest of the season. One or anything less than that would be a disaster. Just a small bit of housekeeping here before we wrap up. The FAI Women's Cup final is on this Sunday. Bows are in it for the first time in their history. Our second cup final this weekend. The girls have been brilliant. They've gone on the next. Particularly if you've nothing else planned on this Sunday.
Absolutely, get up the talent and support the girls. They've been absolutely fantastic. They've already lost one cup final, so they deserve this on Sunday. And it'd be great to see us bring a huge crowd up there. I think ticket sales are starting to pick up now, so let's get up there and win a trophy in Tallaght. I think the last trophy was in Tallaght, so we might as well go again up there.
Yeah, wasn't a man having the other cup final at Ferry Carrick. It was just, you know, I know it was great having the buses going down and all that kind of stuff, but it just seemed a bit of a mad decision. Like, I'm good at myself because I'm working on Sunday, and so I won't be here for that cup final, but I would absolutely love to be going. And like, I'd say I was scratching my head about the women's team over the last couple of years because there's been a lot of investment there. You know, obviously, Ken was there managing the team last season, and it was just seemed a bit odd that he kind of left after such a short spell in charge. I know he's working with Killer up at Dundalk. But what a turnaround this season, especially the second half of the season. It's been absolutely brilliant. Be serious form shown by the women coming to the end. Wouldn't be great just to cap it off with the cup win on Sunday.
Fantastic, yeah. Give a real shot in the arm to the club. So hopefully we can get the job done. We'll win on Friday, we'll win in Tallaght on Sunday, and we'll beat Pat on Monday.
Absolutely. And just the checking from Chief of European Money is coming up for 2026 higher, he expects. Well, there's an article, we won't worry about that, we'll worry about next year first. But you know, it is a massive incentive, you know, because you know, the money that we get from this year aids us to get into the following year. So let's hope that's one of the reasons we qualify for Europe, because we do need the Bugs Bunny, especially leaving Daily Mount. Look, we'll wrap up here now, and I know we started off with a bit of a Steve Doyle monologue. Steve, I'll get one final question for you, and I'll let you end on this. So, what does Bows mean to you in this day and age?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, what does Bows mean to me at this day and age? I suppose friendship. That's the big thing I would say. Because you know, results have been up and down over the last couple of years. The team haven't been winning trophies, but every time I go, you know, I see the same faces, the same friendly faces. There's a couple of people, Soprano, a couple of others. That I would still, Kev and Desi, that I would go and see at the match up in the Jody stand. When I'm there, I'd be chatting to the lads, Larry and that behind me, who work there. You've got the women down the shop. You've got the same lads, maybe you'd say hello to at the turnstile, picking my programs up off. All the people on the board, you know, I'd meet Bodge at the away matches and all. And the likes of yourself, Jordan, as well. And can I just say as well, I think it's been brilliant that you have stuck with the podcast, because it is a great, I think it's really important, especially for a club as big as Bohemians, that there is some sort of supporters podcast there. And I would be an avid listener every week. I think it's brilliant. It's great that you have so many variety of guests. And it's been a great accompaniment for me going down to games when I'm working on a Friday night down to Turner's Cross or over to the showgrounds, whatever the case may be. So fair play to you, and it's all great to meet you at games and have a chat with you and all that kind of stuff. And the same as yourself, Pete, you know, you mentioned during COVID, it was a really tough time for us all, and it was brilliant meeting a guy like you, a Bows fan like myself, out in the wilderness of Wicklow. But that's what I'd say, is it's friendship, because it doesn't matter what kind of results the team are having, whether defeats or their wins or whatever the case may be, you're seeing the same faces. And you mightn't be really close friends, you might be just saying hello to each other, but that's what it's all about, isn't it? Football. It's about the friends you make along the way, and it's about the people that you can talk to at a match and you know, give out to about who's playing shite on the left wing or this, that, or the other. But I'll tell you one thing, lads, there is no better feeling than, you know, celebrating a goal. And isn't it funny? You might turn around to your right hand side and you grab the first person you see, and it mightn't be a close friend, it might be somebody you just know from going to matches, but you still grab them and you give them a big hug and you go mad. And there's no feeling like it when your team scores and you're cheering and you're in the moment like that. And to me, that's what football is all about. It's the friendships, about the friendships around the club that you support. That's the most important thing, I think.
Well said, Stephen.
Here, echo all that, Stephen. Yep.
Well said. And lads, massive weekend for club, women's and men's. We'll wrap up, and I thank you both very much for your time into the late night now at this time. As we do every week, come on the fucking balls.
Come on, Bulls. Let's go.
'Cause we all follow Bulls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around. And